on WYPR in Baltimore.
It's out of the blocks.
From the minds of Aaron Hinken and Wendell Patrick.
1 hour of radio.
One city block.
Everybody's story.
This is 6300 Reisterstown Road.
My name is Ron Rosenbluth, and we're at Tove Pizza at 6313 Reisterstown Road. The basics with kosher is you don't mix your meat and your milk. So we have no meat products in the store here at all. We had to use kosher cheese, where the rennets are synthetic or made from kosher animals, not considered meat. And that's why our pizza is different than the regular pizza you'll find on the street. Kosher cheese is much more expensive because of the way it's processed and supervised from the time the cows are milked all the way through it getting to me here.
If you stick around, you will see how we make pizza. My name is Olivier Gagneau, and here I'm making pizza. I'm the pizza guy. Originally from Cameroon and a United States citizen today. Since I got here, I started working with Jewish people, and I live with them since then.
Was that part of your faith community before you came to the U.S.?
No. I'm a Christian Catholic. I'm a Catholic Christian.
Over the years, we've had over 1,100 employees go through the store. I've had a lot of relatives work here. I've had a lot of people of different faiths, different color, different languages, and it all works.
Tuna melt.
When I was 20 years old, I approached the landlord of this building to open up a pizza store, a kosher pizza store, and I dropped out of college and opened up the pizza store. We opened someday, I don't remember the exact date in March that we opened, 1984. And I was downtown getting my final license. I didn't even wait to get back here to see the doors open. I called and said, open the doors, I got the license. And by the time I got here, the store was full of customers.
Well, I was 9 years old when we opened, and he's 12 years older than me. I came in, I was making boxes. By 13, I was able to make pizzas, take the ovens, just do what needed to be done. My name is Avi Rosenbluth. My position is manager of Tove Pizza.
And does it make your job as manager easier or more difficult that that boss is your brother?
I mean, of course we're brothers, but we take it as a job. And if I don't do a good job, I can lose my job. You can't take advantage that it's a family business. I have to make sure that everything runs as smooth as possible, as profitable as possible, and stay on top of my game.
My father wanted me to follow his footsteps in the insurance business. I really didn't have a desire to work for my father. What he didn't tell me then is that he was sick with leukemia and was going to die shortly thereafter. So I didn't go into insurance and I came into the pizza business. I opened it myself. My father helped me. I was single at the time. He told me I can live at home for free for the first year, but if I didn't turn a profit in the first year, I'd have to go into insurance. Still never telling me how sick he was. But he did help me. He came in after work or whenever he had the time, he came here and he helped me with anything that needed to be done. If it was cutting cheese or mopping the floor, whatever my father was able to do to help, he helped. He wanted me to succeed. And we just pulled a profit barely in that first year.
My name is Fischel Gross, and I've been friendly with Ron Rosenbluth for quite some time before he opened up the pizza shop. And when he did open it up in 1984, I remember Saturday night, the lines were out the door because it was such a novelty to have a kosher pizza in Baltimore. I remember I was helping get the stuff in and out of the ovens. Ronnie from Tove Pizza's father was a very lovely fellow. Unfortunately, he died young, he was in the 50s. And customary for Jewish sons is to say the Kaddish prayer for 11 months after one's death.
And it was very difficult to get out of work to get to those prayer services. So instead of going to the prayers, I brought the prayers here.
Ronnie, and I think I was helpful at the time, created a 2:30 mincha Minyan or Mincha service so they could say the Kaddish prayer without having to close down the pizza shop.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to look through these glass doors and see a room full of guys in prayer in between stacks of pizza boxes and the Coca-Cola machine.
Well, you know, that room was there for a party room. It's our overflow room. But people now know that that's where the service takes. In fact, people are very punctual. They know we're going to start at 2:30 exactly, and they'll pull in to the parking lot at 2:27, 2:28. And people who now have to say those prayers for their departed relatives, they'll come in at 2:20 and they'll say, "Are you sure we're going to have a quorum of 10, which we call a minyan?" And I'm like, don't worry. 2:25, they're like, "Are you sure? Because if you don't have it, I'll look to go to another, to a synagogue later today. Or, you know, I heard you have it, but I'm getting nervous. It's 2:26. I said, "Give it another 2 minutes." And sure enough, the room fills up. And it's been here for since 1990.
If you're just tuning in, you're on 6300 Reisterstown Road.
It's Out of the Blocks.
1 hour of radio.
One city block.
Everybody's story.
Ziti macaroni and cheese, eggplant parmesan, all made in-house. Pretzels, knishes. Knishes go really quick.
I'm Yitzi Childress at 6313 Reisterstown Road. And I'm a counter boy, I interface with customers, and suffer the brunt of all the shortcomings of the entire system.
Pickup or delivery? Do you want to leave a tip for the driver? Okay, thank you. Bye.
So growing up here, I was raised an Orthodox Jew, and where we are, we're on the line right between the Orthodox community and the Black community. And I always felt like there was this line that I shouldn't cross because it was someone else's community across that line. And growing up, I realized that like it's because I didn't have like good like racial understanding of different peoples because I was raised so sheltered. But just when I was young, I felt like I was approaching here and it was just like this wall on this block specifically. I mean, even when I was 19, I'm 26 now. Even when I was 19, I was still, you know, very ingrained in the community. Like, it wasn't everyone. It was just myself and my Jews. And it wasn't until after that, when I stopped practicing, that I really started becoming comfortable with this idea that, you know, we share a space with a lot of different people. And it's not supposed to be, there's not supposed to be a wall there, you know? I thought I wanted to be a rabbi, a priest, and the Jewish faith, and one of the things that I was doing towards that end is it's a local program where they have young kids being mentored by older kids, but in like large groups, like so they send all the kids like on like a day trip. And so I went on one of those and I got four of the brightest middle school kids just in my group, and these kids asked me all the standard, you know, faith questions, if there is a God, like, why does bad stuff happen, assorted others. And I smiled and gave all the answers that I like had been trained with since I was very young. And then after that experience, you know, I felt, I don't know exactly how to describe this feeling, just started welling up, you know, from deep in my gut, that it didn't feel right that I was giving such young, moldable minds this, like, rote answer. Like, when I hadn't really thought about it that deeply, yeah, you know, that's what I had been told by rote, you know, well, this is why we do these things. But I never really believed it. And it was going on this and trying to teach that to other kids, you know, was my awakening to actually look at it and question it.
Where are you at right now with faith and organized religion and stuff?
Comfortably agnostic. I'm okay with the idea that there could be a God. And I'm okay with people practicing whatever they're cool with. And I just like being respectful and not having to worry about what an invisible guy in the sky might be thinking about what I'm doing. It's kind of like being in a mafia. It's kind of exactly what it is. You stay in good graces with the heads, right? And they got you taken care of. Don't worry. Don't even think about leaving. And that sort of like fear of leaving, they don't threaten to cut off your kneecaps, but they threaten to cut off you spiritually. I have severed ties with the man who was my rabbi and lost his graces, to keep a metaphor, you know.
And yet you have effectively stepped away.
I like to think, in a sense, I have, except here I am working in a Jewish-owned store that, you know, is the center of, like, the Jewish world on this block, basically, you know. I have stepped away in one sense, but in the other sense, like, I live right here on this block, right? Middle of Pikesville. But I would rather start to foster a relationship with a larger global community.
I imagine the great irony, though, is that you probably never feel quite so Jewish as when you start hanging out with non-Jews, right? Like people outside the community, right? When everybody else is around you Jewish, well, then you don't feel like you don't really feel that identity so much.
Yes, that is. I never thought about that, but very, very true. I'm the token Jew in a lot of my circles.
Can I get 30 on 4?
And you'll get 20, I guess, too?
No, no, number 3.
6315 Rester Town Road. This is a Gulf gas station. Namaskar, mero naam Deepak Bhandari. Ma Nepal bato. Hello, my name is Deepak and I'm from Nepal. It's a small country, lots of mountains, rivers, and I grew up in a small city called Butol. And then I went, when I completed my high school, we moved to the capital city, that is Kathmandu. After that, I moved here.
Give me 15 on 5.
25 on the cargo van.
35 on the
van. Give me a pack of Newport 100s in the box.
What was it like to arrive from Kathmandu to Baltimore, Maryland? How was it different?
Different people, different place, and climate, everything was different when I came here. So I was thinking, so where am I? Where I am? Yeah.
I want 20 on 5.
Let me get a casino black, man.
Can you restart number 1 for me, please?
It's like a land of opportunity. So I'm here for some of those opportunities, yeah. But I'm still looking for that. I mean, for a better life, better way of living.
Like 518.
Casino number 1.
How about the Newport 100?
People, everybody here is busy. And everybody is working. Maybe I'd like to go to a vacation where it is quiet. Yeah.
You're tuned to Out of the Blocks.
6300 Restetown Road.
1 hour of radio.
One city block.
Everybody's story.
Don't touch that dial.
It's Out of the Blocks, 6300 Reisterstown Road.
From Aaron Hankin and Wendell Patrick.
1 hour of radio, one city block, everybody's story.
Everybody's story.
This is the best shawarma. We have the number one shawarma in Baltimore. One shawarma pita, one shawarma lafa. Oleg Guzman, it's kosher bite, 6309 Restetown Road.
2 beef egg rolls and lots of duck sauce.
I have Israeli food, American food, Chinese, and I have Russian food.
2 bite and fry.
I'm doing everything. I'm not just chef cook. I'm manager here, I'm chef cook, I'm everything, okay? But I like to cook in the kitchen. I'm cook. I'm Russian cook. I was cooking from 6 years old, okay? I am from Belarus, Minsk, capital of Belarus. No history for Jew in Russia. Okay, in my country, where I live, I have only one shul, one synagogue, okay? We don't know about any holiday, Jewish holiday, nothing. We know the only Pesach, because they send us matzah. We eat matzah on the Pesach. That's it. It's all what we know. Nothing else. This is why I'm coming 24 years ago, 1992. I learning Jewish tradition and everything here. I'm so happy to be here.
Bite burger? No, I don't have a bite burger.
You want a hamburger?
Lettuce, tomato, onion?
When I came here, I took him as a busboy. He didn't know English. Okay, so he worked his way up. And now he's running the place. He had tough times in life, you know. I tried to help him out. So he feels like he owes his life to Kosher Bite. David Cohen is my name. I've been here 27 years. We have American, Chinese, and Israeli cuisine, plus liquor, wine, all the largest kosher wine and liquor in state of Maryland.
Tell me what this place was before you moved here.
It was a crab house. Mr. K's Crab. So I took it over and I changed it into a kosher place.
This place must have required a thorough steam cleaning in the process.
We basically remodeled the whole thing. A lot of effort goes into it. From 9 o'clock in the morning to 11, every 6 days a week. Originally from Iran, I came here when I was 19 years old. I went to school here. Then I moved to Baltimore back in the end of 79. The history was that when Shah of Iran left, okay, we really didn't have any motivation to go back to Iran. Khomeini's time, so we had to settle here. The best thing that I can advise anybody, to repent one day before their death. And you know when that is, right?
How does anyone know?
Exactly. So you repent all the time. You can't repent right now. One day before, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.
Do you repent?
Every day. So I said, I've been here 27 years. I this was the first time ever I ran out of burger.
First time ever you what now?
We ran out of the burgers.
27 years you've been in business, and tonight is the first day you've run out
first
of burgers.
Ever, yeah. I just missed it out. I had everything ready to make the burgers, but I made it. I made 100 burgers right away. So
now there's something to repent about tonight.
That's all explained.
What is the beer that those guys took?
Huh?
The beer?
Hey, Radioland, it's 1 hour of radio, one city block, everybody's story. Out of the blocks, 6300 Ricestown Road.
My name is Aisha Julius, and I'm a page, and I stock shelves, and I stock movies and stuff like that. There's sometimes where you're like, oh, I didn't know this was there, and I like find books that I've never seen before. I try to get into, you know, because it's a huge library and it's a lot of stuff going on. And it's like, well, I'm interested in this and I'm interested in that, and then you know, people come up to you and they ask you for your help, and you're just like, I know exactly where that is, and you get, you know, like, oh, I read up on that too, and you kind of give them your opinion on stuff like that. So that's good. It's cool.
Probably the most fascinating part of our job is to answer questions about things you never thought about, you know, on topics that, you know, you never contemplate for yourself. But, you know, you are forced to delve into them even for a few minutes at a time to just, you know, try to figure out what the answer could be for the individual that's asking it. So,
I'm Herb Melvo, the branch manager at Ricestown Road branch of the Enoch Pratt Free Library. We're at 6310 Ricestown Road in Baltimore.
Sierra Kenshin, and I'm the circulation supervisor at Ricestown Library Branch.
We do a lot of traffic. It really depends. We have like a lot of kids that check out like the graphic novels. You have a lot of adults that do like the series and stuff like that. So it can be a lot. And then we have the self-checkout. So they check out their own materials over there as well in the corner.
I'm Officer Winston Walters, Officer of the Inner Prattville Library, work at this branch, Reisterstown branch. My duty entails, I enforce all the rules and regulations that the Pratt Library set forth for the patron, loitering, sleeping, you know, bare feet, using profanity, being loud and disrespectful, you know, using drugs, stuff like that. I take care of those type of stuff. They teach us, you know, verbal judo. It's basically teach us how to communicate verbally with patrons. So we usually get our point across in a very responsible way.
My name is Gerald Conaway, and we're at the Reisterstown Road branch of the Pratt Library. I'm a member of the Friends of the Pratt Library, and we work with this branch, supporting them in ways that they are not budgeted for with the city. I think the library is one of the most important assets of the city.
My name is Maria Smith. I work at the circulation desk. I love the library. I love everything it offers. I'm a reader. And to me, it's like a candy store. I'm always in the candy store. You know, dropping off the candy, picking up some more. I've never seen a kid who doesn't like to read. Like, I had this one young man, he said, I don't like to read. I said, yes, you do. You just haven't found a book. So I said, I know a book will be good for you. I said, get the book, Fault in Our Stars. And he says, what is that? I said, read it. I said, I guarantee you'll like it. He took the book home, read the book in one day. He came back. He said, oh my goodness, that was the best book ever. I want another one. I said, see, I told you, you had to find a book for you.
Window, window, wind, I say, what are you blowing away today? Scarves, oh scarves, oh scarves, oh say, I am blowing the scarves away. Ready? We're going to blow them away. There they go. Great job. Shall we do it again?
My name is Rachel Peffer, and I'm the children's librarian here at the Enoch Pratt Free Library on Reisterstown Road.
Old Mother Goose, when she wanted to wander, would fly through the air.
We're having our Mother Goose Baby Step story time for children from birth to age 3 and their caregivers.
Goosey, goosey gander, how do you wander? Upstairs and downstairs and in my lady's chamber.
We have Orthodox Jewish families who come, we have African American families who come. It's really something that brings everybody in the community together.
Can you sway from side to side? Sway, 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 sway.
Do you have children of your own?
Not yet.
Does this job encourage or discourage the idea?
For me, it encourages it. I don't know if I would want to be raising my own family and doing this particular job at the same time, but I really love what I do, and I love getting to work with all the children here.
Oh, I see something. Can you help get in that truck? You see a doggy?
Really?
He said trucks.
What about the
there are trucks.
What's that?
He's a boy. Okay.
A dinosaur?
Okay. I have, in general, been coming to this branch library and taking out an average of maybe 5 books a week. 200 to 250 books a year I would take out from the library. Novels, I mean. I don't read anything I have to remember anymore. Sydney Rankin, PhD in chemical engineering, age 84. 84, did I say that? 84. I was born in 1931. And when I was a kid growing up, one thing we didn't have was toys. You look at the toy world now, you go into a house with little kids, you need a snow shovel to get through the living room, and it's all this junk there. Well, we didn't have that junk. My nephew has a boy now 10, a girl 13. This little boy, he's constantly got some kind of game things in his hands. And he's, not only the kids, the young adults, the college age, the 20s, 30s, they can't exist without a smartphone in their hand. They're walking around with it all the time. They're scrolling through things. Messages go back and forth. We used to be able to live without any of these things. We've got all these great gadgets, and they're evil. I'm sure you know that. Your time is not your own. You're always on call. This is what modern technology has done to you all. When I worked, the place went from 8:30 to 4:30 or something. But when that time came, 15 minutes later, the parking lot's empty. I can't work at home. I don't have a computer. I don't have a smartphone. I don't have an iPad. Heck, I had a 40-hour week. You don't have that luxury anymore. But boy, do you have gadgets.
As long as you know where to drill and where to do and what to do, it just takes time to basically crack anything. You have to think like a bad guy. That doesn't mean you're a bad guy. You just have a mind for it to find out what's going on. And then you have this machine that you have to be very careful when you turn it on. My name is Ben. My last name is Golian. 6318 Reisterstown Road. Our business is Advanced Security Safe and Lock. We have torches, grinders. We are a security company. We deal with safes, we deal with locks, we deal with cars, we deal with cameras, access control, so forth, so on. There was only one safe that it's not that I couldn't crack it, I just didn't have enough time. The customers just were under pressure. We started working like 2 hours into it, and the customer just forced us out because the landlord didn't want him there anymore, so he just gave up, and that was the only safe. I have been in front of safes 12 hours. I have gone to open a safe from malfunction, jewelry safe. We didn't know what's going on with it 3 days in a row until we finally, we cracked it open. It's just time and just understanding what and where we could attack the situation that we are facing. All you need to be just curious, basically. Curious George, I just enjoy taking things apart since I was a little kid. So that makes me, enjoy my job till, it's done. I try to take advantage of every day. It's just the next elevator you have to catch to go up higher, Just like the water, if you want to make it to the river after the river, it goes to the ocean. If you want to just be a little stream and stay one place, you could spoil and you could rot and you cannot even be drinking. That's why our purpose is to go forward. Our age doesn't go backwards. Why should we? So this is the most important part of the day, okay? And when the customer leaves, that's all we want to hear.
From 6300 Rester Town Road.
It's out of the blocks.
More after the break.
Out of the Blocks is made possible with grant funding from the William G. Baker Jr. Memorial Fund and the Cohen Opportunity Fund.
From 6300 Reisterstown Road, it's Out of the Blocks, a simple concept from the minds of Aaron Henkin and Wendell Patrick. 1 hour of radio, one city block, everybody's story.
Most selling items for the grill, cheese steak, chicken cheese steak, grilled chicken. Yeah, we just chop it up all day long.
My name is Milan Casey. The business name Giorgio's Restaurant. Address 6322 Reisterstown Road, Baltimore, 21215.
A lot of French fries.
It's all about French fries. Yeah. So anything they get is French fries and drink.
I'm from Nepal. First time I came in here for study computer information systems.
And ended up in the restaurant business.
Yes, it just happened to be like, this is the way you can make a living, pay bills and family and my mortgage and all that. So it's okay, but I'm not really satisfied with this kind of business because it's too much work, too much headache and all that, yeah.
I love the story of how you met your wife. Will you tell that story?
Oh, yes, of course. The parents, they arranged all the date and everything. We basically didn't do nothing except just introducing, talking on the phone. I was still here working myself, and she was back there in Australia. She was doing studying up there. And the date they fixed it for the marriage time is you have to pick the right date to get the right marriage. That's how they do back in the country, you know.
So let me make sure I have this right. You're living here in the U.S. Your soon-to-be wife is living in Australia. Both your families are in Nepal. They invite you both back to Nepal. You've talked on the phone. You've messaged each other. What was it like the first time you actually set eyes on her?
Yeah, it's a little bit kind of odd feel because we were myself with my family members and herself with her family members. They say, okay, you guys go talk, you know, talk each other. And then we were kind of confusing and feeling odd. And she was not unhappy kind of feeling, but she's just feeling kind of shy or something. She's not really talking too much. That was the first day, yeah.
And you got married how many days later?
4 or 5 days we got married. After that, she had to fly back in Australia. I had to fly back in the U.S.
You met and got married within a week, and then you both immediately flew back to your countries where you were from?
Yeah, she went back up there, Australia. I came back in the U.S.
And then how long was it before you got to see her again?
1.5 years, she came back.
And you guys finally actually begin a life together.
Yeah, that's true. In my case, it's like, you know, I was a little bit disappointed about my wife because she was feeling kind of unhappy the first beginning time, you know, because the life she grew up, it's completely, we coming to a different world. I know there's some kind of disappointment, there's some kind of like unhappiness, but it will go away, but you have to try to make her happy from different process, you know.
And now you have 2 children.
Yeah, 2 children. One 2 years and 1 3 years. One boy and 1 girl. So, yeah, we happy. Yeah.
You're here all day long, 6 days a week.
That's true.
And your one day off is Sunday.
Sunday off, yeah.
What are Sundays like?
Sundays is different. It just feel like excitement from the early morning because kids come in, you know, the bed like early, and then you don't feel like you want to sleep because that's the time you have. And if you waste even a couple of extra minutes, that's a waste of time because you spend with the kids. And they even like, they are too young, but they know my day off is coming. And the day I stay home, they already know, you know, dad is going to be home and we're going to have a good time. And I don't know how they know that, but they know already. You know, Sunday, today is a Sunday. Sunday is our day, you know.
You want the combo, right? 868. Is it changed?
If I could say anything that anybody would listen to and actually take to heart, it would be this one principle that I've learned from my years in AA. Just do the next right thing.
That's a lot of pills.
Supposedly, they're supposed to cure a lot of problems. There we go. My name is Julia Clark, and we are at Giorgio's Restaurant at 6322 Reisterstown Road in Pikesville. I was a litigation secretary working downtown when I first started having problems, and my brain would just stop. There would be too much stuff that was going on around me, and my coordination wouldn't be able to process it all. Started going off. I was losing muscle control, fibromyalgia syndrome, major depressive disorder, chronic pain, aphasia, anomia. I couldn't even understand someone who was speaking to me in English. One of the things they did is they put me on a classification of drugs called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And when they put me on the SSRIs, it started being possible for me to think better. And eventually it got to the point where I was able to function and I was able to live by myself and do different things. And that has continued apace. But still, I'm not marketable as far as working.
You came to a critical halt in your ability to function. When you bounced back from all that, did you feel like the same person?
I'm not the same person for a variety of reasons. Number one is you can never go through a critical experience like that and come out on the other side the same. It changes who and what you are because you have survived the fire.
And thus you ended up with this passion for extreme weather situations and natural disasters.
That's a very, very long story. November of 1968, we had an earthquake, William Sound, Wabash seismic zone in southern Alaska. Very famous Alaska earthquake was devastated by 2004. Hurricane Jean went through 70% of the city. 1,000 people had been destroyed. They had over 13,000 people kept dying in August before this. I started researching, so that's when I started tracking in earnest. Tracked that for a number of years. I might not remember what I did 5 seconds ago, but for this kind of thing, it sticks in my brain. It just does.
What do you think it is about extreme weather and natural disasters that is so fascinating to you?
I like power. I love watching things that have enormous amounts of power. It's not just the question that there's the danger element always, but there is the magnificence. When I see something that is this much bigger than I am, this much bigger than anything that we are able to grasp, to even deal with, I want to know what makes it work. It's fascinating to see it.
Obsessed with cars.
Anything with wheels is exciting to me.
My name is Steve Smith.
David Engelman. We're at Auto Leader.
We own the 6300 block of Reisterstown Road.
I am the general manager here.
I'm a salesman here at Auto Leader.
We now have 3 different lots holding over 125 pre-owned cars.
Give me your best sales pitch. What do you got? What do you got here? What do you want to put me in today?
Well, today and every day, we specialize in import cars.
This is a 13 Mazda 2. Very easy to maintain, easy to handle.
This is a 2012 Toyota Sienna. You never know that someone's going to buy the car until they sign on the dotted line. And even at that point, you still don't know that they're buying the car until they leave with the car.
You know, sales 101. You ask the right questions, qualifying your customer. This is for the sporty person. This is a 10 Nissan Altima Coupe, leather seats, sunroof. Nice car.
There's a lot of things that go into someone making a purchase and a decision. Depending who's with them and what kind of input they're getting from their family or friends could also determine, you know, what they truly want to do.
This is a 2012 Acura MDX. This car has a third row seat, opposed to like a Lexus RX 350.
What they think they qualify for might be completely different than what they qualify for.
I get some people under the age of 30, and they have very unrealistic expectations of what their buying power is.
The kind of car that they leave with might be a complete 360 or 180 rather than what they came in looking for.
You know, you want this Lexus, but you more so fall in lines with this Honda Civic. This is a 2008 Nissan Titan. This is a great truck.
Talk about what it is that makes somebody fall in love with a car on the car lot.
It could be a number of things. It could be the color. It could be the smell. It could be the feel of the seat when they sit down. But also, those three things could turn them off as well. It is psychology. It's about first impression.
People buy from people that they like. I think with all the different personalities that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, I kind of mirror or mimic the person that's in front of me. So I just try to be a chameleon to who my customer is.
What do you think about this stereotypical reputation that used car salesmen have?
It's definitely a reputation that some people still live up to in this business. And there's still a lot of people out there that still try to pull scams on you and do just a lot of things that you wouldn't want done to yourself. And, you know, we try to take that out. There's a lot of reviews online about us and all other dealerships. And we really, really strive to have really strong reviews out there.
This is a Volvo C70 hardtop convertible. It's one of the safest hardtop convertibles on the market.
So cars can only come from a number of different places. They're either a trade-in or we purchase them at an auction. When the car comes in, we have the mechanics look at them. We do a Maryland State inspection. After that, it goes through our detail shop where we can wet sand the car, buff the car. We would even go as far as painting panels or bumpers if need be. I'm going to open up the garage door, and inside the garage we have our mechanics bays, our paint booth for our body shop, and our detail facility. What you hear is a shampoo machine coming on. The guys are going to shampoo all the carpet. They detail the car. We wet sand, wax, buff, detail, everything. Make it look as new as possible.
You're gonna be really clean.
Byron's our head of the shop here, and he is the painter. He's in control of all of our detail guys, the paint booth, and just runs the day-to-day here. Make sure that when the car leaves here, it's looking its best.
Hi, my name is Byron Flores. I'm from El Salvador. I've been working here for almost 2 years. We got a big concentrator in every single thing we do, trying to make perfect. And look like we try to make happy the customer, you know. We had the computer in here to mix all the paint we have right here.
Wow, so you can color match any car.
Yeah, sometimes we take a week for make one color for one car. When I come here, my dream is to buy a motorcycle and then come back to my country. So when I come here, I start to know about history here, try to see people, something different, my mind changed. Now I love this country, I really like everything.
You came here 6 years ago because you wanted to buy a motorcycle and then ride back home on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And here you are 6 years later, still here.
Yeah, still here. Now I have 2 babies, a boy and girl. For now, I don't buy my motorcycle.
You still haven't bought a motorcycle?
Yeah, no, my wife says it's too dangerous. You have 2 kids, you don't have to buy a motorcycle. I say, okay. I really love this job. Wow.
Hi, my name is Uriel Golfes. The business is called A to Z Savings, 6307 Reisterstown Road.
You picked a different tree, okay?
The concentration of the business is mostly for the Orthodox Jewish community who live around this neighborhood.
What is of particular kosher interest here that you wanted to tell me about?
All this thing that you see against the wall. We have something called electric thermopot. It's an urn with a pump because, as you might know, the Orthodox Jewish community, we are not supposed to cook or to bake during the Saturday, which is we call it Shabbos. And because of that, this pump is going to allow you to warm the water before Shabbos so you can use it during Shabbos. Or we have something else which is called hot plates. For the same purpose, it's electronic, and you can cook on it before Shabbos and let it be on it so that on Shabbos you are not cooking.
So really quite an industry has sprung up in response to the kosher rules.
That's right. Yeah. They did. My perfect day always is Saturday. I get up early, maybe 4, 5 o'clock, sometimes 6 o'clock in the morning. And everybody's sleeping, more or less. I'm studying by myself. And then I go to congregation that I belong. I have over there a few partners that we learn until like 8 when the rabbi comes and we have the prayer for the Saturday. And after that, the rabbi gives the a speech, which is has only to do with the Bible. And then in the afternoon, again, we're going to do the afternoon prayer. And then at night also we go and we do prayer and come back. So I feel that that day really fills me up. That's why I liked about that day. I'm not from United States, as you notice from my accent. I'm from Iran. In 1979, a lot of Jews, including me, they left Iran to come to the United States so that they can be in environment that there is no restriction of talking, no restriction of religion, and no restriction of all those things that was restricted in Iran. Now I'm living in here and I love it, and I feel that Baltimore is the best place for us, for Orthodox people who live here, because we have everything that we need to keep everything according to the Jewish Bible. In Iran, not having freedom the way we have it here, people did not have the chance to learn. And because of that, a lot of people, they weren't so religious and so Orthodox. But here, you want to be Orthodox, Baltimore is a place that you can learn and go up on the steps. In Iran, wasn't like that. ربوت مخشوبوت بلیو ایش و اسد هشم ارتاقوم. What it means, a person thinks a lot. A lot of ربوت means a lot. A lot of thinking comes to the person that I'm going to do this today, I'm going to do that tomorrow, I'm going to do... The person thinks, I'm going to do all these things. اسد هشم ارتاقوم. But really the only thing which is going to establish it, what God wants. As I am getting older and getting more mature, I would call it, I realize, you know, the faith which I have, I found what I'm looking for.
You've been listening to Out of the Blocks.
From the minds of radio producer Aaron Hankin and music producer Wendell Patrick.
You can podcast the series and check out photos and videos online at
WYPR.org/out of the blocks.
Aaron and Wendell want to thank every one of us who took a leap of faith and shared our stories and our lives.
For 88.1 WYPR, URMPR News Station.
This is 6300 Reisterstown Road. Signing off.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Adios.
Suba bidai.
That means goodbye?
Yeah, goodbye.